welcome to the latest edition of the TetraCast, another special edition here at E3 2016. We're kind of wrapping things up, but we have a lot to talk about. So right now, we're going to move into Mass Effect Andromeda. Now, EA showed a little bit of this during their conference, but they also had some interviews with some other publications, such as IGN and so forth. And we pulled some information about that, so we can kind of discuss that. But also, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on what you'd like to see from this game that we still don't know a whole lot about. They're still being ambiguous over at BioWare.
Yeah.
So here I've got Kyle Campbell, thank you, Andrea Sharon, and hello, Alex Donaldson. You've all been on here before, so let's get right into it.
Well, I think, I guess we expected more.
Right.
Yep.
And so we figured we'd do this almost for catharsis.
Yeah,
and just
I think
to get it out of our systems.
Because I was part of the pre-EA show podcast, and as I rambled, I talked as though I expected a major part of EA's conference to be Mass Effect, because it should be, and if the last E3 before we see this game. So next E3, this game will be out, preferably, or it should be. But of course, we do have Gamescom. Before that.
Yeah.
That's not a big EA.
And like, you know, N7 Day, which BioWare likes to make a big deal out of.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
November 7th.
But it still was, I can perhaps understand why EA did it.
Right.
But it's still frustrating. Mm-hmm. But some people did go and get some, I think, I get the impression maybe they were on the fly interviews, let's say, with BioWare. So like, IGN did, Polygon did, I know that PlayStation Access did. Shout out to Holly, who is one of the biggest Mass Effect fans I know. And so there's some pretty interesting information that's come out of that, and we, you know, you guys sort of sat and read through that before we started this.
Read up the very summary of it.
And, I mean, you know, it wasn't much, but I was pretty pleased with what we saw at E3. Things I was pleased with, I was pleased to see the new ship, the Tempest.
That was cool.
Yep.
I was hugely not suspicious, that's not the right word, skeptical of their ability to make a ship that was as iconic as the Normandy.
Right. Yep.
And I think they've sort of done it.
At least they've done this, yes.
So fair enough.
Very imposing, the original ship was.
Yeah, and all the footage they showed, which was all PC footage, of course, looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It was very pretty.
That game is absurdly gorgeous.
Mm. Yeah, it's on the Frostbite engine, same one that powers a lot of EA's modern games now, like the new Battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but it also has brilliant art direction. Like, it's just so pretty.
Yeah, the faces and everything. You just see that, the animation, too. Just
the Asari that we saw. The cute paint. Smirk.
The Furiosa style.
Yeah.
The visor, almost like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so we did get some significant news out of this. Obviously, we got the name of the ship, which in its own way is significant, because we'll probably be living with that ship for several games. We got the name of the new main character, which is Ryder. So
R-Y-D-E-R.
Yeah, so you'll obviously make your own first name, as you do to Shepard, but you are Ryder now. And
Matt Ryder.
Also, that the female version of that character is going to be the one that is the main one. So the character we see if you haven't seen it, suggest you go and watch it, and maybe it'll be in the background right now. Who knows? But the character you see at the end of the trailer waking up is female version of Ryder, and that is going to be the heroic, you know, image for the series, for the new series.
Yep.
And thinking about it, what she says, like our only glimpse of her is the "we made it" part. That does make me think that maybe she is like what we discussed before. Like what they do touch on in the novels is that she was kind of humanity's last hope, or whoever. It looks like she's clearly surrounded by other. Like she's not alone.
Well, so that big thing you see in the trailer that's sort of Citadel-esque,
right?
I believe is the Ark.
Right.
Yep.
That's been sent from Earth to this new galaxy and has been in transit for potentially hundreds of years.
Now, whether or not it was sent from the Reaper War era, we don't know.
It's really interesting because this game is very ambiguous, and it's in the sense that it's taking off where we don't, you know, Mass Effect 3 gets a lot of bad press and a lot of shit from fans, and, you know, whether that's deserved or not is an entirely different topic, but this game is going to give us a sense of, like, a wonder that it's not connected to the previous trilogy. I mean, it is connected to the previous trilogy, but it's very much its own thing. And what I love about it, because, you know, the Andromeda Galaxy is an absurd amount of distance from the Milky Way Galaxy, so it's like a fresh slate. So everything, like we made it, like, that's a huge accomplishment from the Citadel. So I can't wait to see.
Well, and one of the things they've said is that, like, obviously there's no side game transfer anyway.
Yeah.
But you won't have to worry about whatever the Mass Effect 3 ending was in this game, which suggests to me that maybe these characters leave sometime between the start of Mass Effect 1 and the start of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Right, which is the around, because I believe it's between 2 and 3 that one of the novels, I can't even remember at this point, where they at least acknowledge that humanity has acknowledged the Reaper War is going to end poorly.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Not even the Reaper War, but nothing is going right for humanity.
The whole mission is like this sense that the Reapers won, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, they sent her? I don't know if I didn't read the novels. Obviously, you did all of them, and so do you feel it's more like they thought that Shepard wasn't going to succeed, so they sent them off?
It's so brief, like, in mention, because it's around some of the time whenever they mention, like, yeah, there are a lot of Quarians already out there that we can't talk to, and then they just kind of.
Yeah.
They did mention in one of the interviews that there's going to be references to the original trilogy. So.
Well, you mentioned Quarians. They're one of the ones that, as of now at least, they're not in any of the trailers.
Yep.
Whereas we
Turians
have...
too?
We have Asari, we have Krogan.
The Krogans, yep.
Even that...
And I believe somebody... I haven't spotted this, but I've read online that, you know, if you frame by frame the trailers, there's a Salarian somewhere in there as well.
Yeah.
If you see the monster, the alien that we see at one point, like,
then it's sort of brute-ish. Yeah.
It reminds me of, they say the name of it, the Shadow Broker race. I forget what it's called. It looks like that, though.
That's a good point. It does look like that. I've never seen
it. If it is, I don't know if I'm trying way too hard. There.
No, that's a...
But no, it does look like that. Yeah.
And that thing was super smart. super smart.
Yeah, I wonder if... Yeah, because that I've always thought that race was interesting. Like, they brought it back, obviously, briefly in Mass Effect 3 in that one mission, and they had, like, a feral one running around. But that's...
Right. I'm surprised they didn't tease any of the new races at all in that whole trailer. No one actually spotted
it. I think that was probably because that's something you want to keep until closer to release.
What if it's, like, actually
like,
when it
like,
releases?
Like, part of this game, obviously, is, like... a euphemism for, like, colonization and, you know,
the unknown.
Starting a new life somewhere. Yeah. So the best stuff you want to keep, the new stuff, keep it till later.
So one of the interesting things that they are saying is that Ryder, the new protagonist, regardless of what you do, will have a family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me. Shout outs to the Los Angeles Police Department. If you can hear that, I assume that there's some sort of police altercation.
Welcome to LA.
Going on outside.
All the time.
But that's interesting to me because obviously we had the origin stories, are you an Earther or a colonist or a spacer?
Right.
Thing in Mass Effect 1, and that did give you some sort of side quest that would play out.
Yeah.
But it sounds like from the things they're saying, like there's an interview that YouTube Live did with Mac Walters. That has a larger suggestion that not only will Ryder have a family, but that it will be fairly significant and tie into the storyline.
Right. So maybe Ryder has a little more to lose than Shepard did. Of course, you can have a love interest and all that, but at a certain point, Shepard kind of didn't have anything...
No.
To lose, just guns blazing.
He's not, so apparently, Ryder's got like expectations, responsibilities. Right. Obviously, she or he has the the race, the human race on her shoulders, right. Trying their survival. And so the fact that her family is, or his family, I keep having to see a female rider, of course, femme rider, as they coined her, has got all this going on. It's like it's balancing those two important aspects. I guess it's just to make that person more relatable, rather than relatable.
Mm-hmm. We have to wonder. Ryder, are they these people like in cryo sleep? Have they been in like some sort of cryo sleep
for a long time?
One of the things they say is that the trip to Andromeda has taken a really long time, as in hundreds of years. So they've been in cryo sleep for a long, long time. So it's safe to assume that even if they set out at some point during the main Mass Effect trilogy, the trilogy is over by the time.
And everyone's dead.
Well, Garrus, all of them, they'll be long dead by the time this game happens.
You know, Krogan lived hundreds of years. Yara's a young Asari, so she could be alive.
That's true. She could be a matriarch at this point.
But many of them would be dead.
Right.
Yeah,
I think Turians have human lifespan.
Yes, they do.
But I don't think you need to see those characters so much. They all had a lot of closure.
I would like a nod to them, like a kind of wink.
Well, it's like, you know, you take a character like Garrus, and it's like you would assume that he became a big deal amongst the whole Turian race.
I think he retired and he was a dad.
He's an amazing character. He's an amazing character, and he's an important part of that story, but. To someone that traveled from literally one galaxy to another, like, would they even know who that is at that point?
I mean, it depends on when they leave, because depending on when they leave, they might know him as part of Shepard's crew.
Well, they could even, because you have to wonder what kind of knowledge they would have going into that new galaxy.
Well, you would assume that they know that everything was complete doom.
Yeah.
At the time. If we're assuming that this is the setup for when they leave, then...
Yeah, and at the same time, if Bioware's calling this, like, the most ambitious game, of course, it's like, I kind of think that, at least I would personally like to see that the races they showed in that trailer is all that we see in the new game, because I would love to be, like, shocked and... Because the great thing about when you first played Mass Effect 1, of course, is that when you saw these races, like, wow, who came up with these crazy designs, you know, like the Krogan... and the Asari,
the stuff
like
that.
Yeah, exactly. Just giant blobs.
Jellyfish.
Yeah. I would love to just see a bunch of new races, because obviously you have to also balance the story, telling like all these missions you go on. If they introduce too many races, then it's like, well, it gets all lost. Mm-hmm. And so I like to see more of that, more experimentation with the artwork.
Well, I think along those lines, you can sort of continue. You can be more like the first Mass Effect game again, in that, you know, whether that's introducing new races, because by the time you hit the second game, you're familiar. By the time you hit the second game, you're familiar with the Turians, the Sledge, you're not surprised by them anymore. And similarly, like, you know, again, in one of these interviews, shout out to the Los Angeles Fire Department.
Yes, thank you.
And similarly, in one of these things, you know, in one of these interviews, the ones that IGN and Polygon did, there are references to sort of, this is a game about you becoming a hero, whereas I think we've been so used for so long to being this famous figure.
Except for the hero from...
He's a spectator.
Before you started.
And from very early on in Mass Effect, you have that encounter with the Cypher, or whatever the hell it's called, I forget, and you are the chosen one.
Mm-hmm. And like they had
like
all these
20 minutes in,
exactly. Yeah. And you had like all these setups, like you are the sole survivor of this, like everyone's glass.
You use that background,
exactly.
Right.
So you create your own heroic story.
You're already very larger than life, and you're not even out of the character creation.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the things. That's a lot of the things they're saying. They're saying things like, you know, you're not going to be supported like Shepard was, because you're not going to be as famous. People aren't going to recognize you. You're not going to bribe a store clerk by offering an endorsement.
Now, it's the struggle. People that the reasons were coming. So.
Now, how long after the Ark arrives in the Andromeda Galaxy do you think this game takes place? Because keeping that in mind, like,
or
how knowledgeable do you think Ryder is of what his or her mission was going into that galaxy?
Because I think the game will open with you waking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The question is how long you've been sitting there. Mm-hmm. The question is what makes you wake up?
What do you know?
Do you wake up because you've reached your destination? Or do you wake up because you have...
this is the set time you were set to wake up.
Do you wake up because perhaps you've been sitting there dormant and another race has boarded the Ark and they wake you up for an exciting action sequence in which you fight them away?
That would be terrible.
And I don't know, like... I hope that they go for a slower burn for the opening of this game, much like Mass Effect 1. There's a really nice thing about that first game where you see the outline of Shepard against the window.
Yep.
And you hear Anderson talking about you, and then you sort of get the background from Anderson and from Nihlus.
And it slowly builds.
And then the weird thing is it builds to this crescendo, and then you go to the Citadel and it all goes calm again. And then it explodes.
Right? Yep.
Whereas Mass Effect 2 is escalation after escalation after escalation. And Mass Effect 3 is war.
10 minutes of Mass Effect 2 is like some of the most intense immediately.
Is that the one that starts off when you're all going out in space?
Like,
yep.
Your ship is immediately attacked within maybe 5 minutes everything of starting.
I love that opening because...
I do too.
I think it's brave because that opening rips everything that's familiar from you in the first game away from you.
Yep. You're like, what's happening?
Yeah, but I hope this game has a slower burn.
Yeah.
I hope they take the time with
it. They kind of made it out to be, seems like it's like, this is the first Mass Effect you've ever played. Because makes sense.
I would like it to be one that if my friends possibly didn't play the trilogy, that maybe this is when they can step in. Because it gets kind of daunting if you build on a series so much and you get so many games deep and you go, well, you have to play... These three games that each took 30 to 40 hours.
You can't do like 2 or 3 hours of putting in like a character, a story creator kind of thing. Like, this is what happened. I decided this. It's like, I don't know anything about these characters.
You know, I mean, generally speaking, I think the things they say are... They're things that make me, you know, happy about where the series is going. Right. You know, we have confirmation of... that the codex will still be deep and...
I did love that.
Mm-hmm. And
you need that flavor text, yeah.
And by the way, I still think you should sort of release a hardback book that's just all the codex entries.
Well, at least an app, you know.
Do you all think that they're going to acknowledge what happens at the end of 3 specifically? Do you think they're going to bring back the Reapers in any sense?
I think that you can't not reference it, right?
Sure. Because the choices, let's consider 3, maybe without spoilers, but consider what happens at the end of 3. There is no way any of those choices, no matter what you pick, don't have galaxy and galaxy-wide effects.
But however, okay, I'm going to get real nerdy here. Mm-hmm. But those things, those effects, as we see them in the ending of Mass Effect 3, they pass through the mass relays.
Yep.
Right.
The mass relays are not galaxy to galaxy.
They only work in
the Milky Way. So, theoretically, they wouldn't have made it to Andromeda.
Is it something that ever stops? Because you remember seeing...
Yeah, but they fire from relay to relay. So if there isn't a relay that leads from somewhere in the Milky Way to somewhere in Andromeda...
True. Yep.
That's true.
They wouldn't potentially reach there.
So whatever happened with any of those choices...
You know, all I'm saying is that... I don't think it matters too much about the last trilogy because I think I understand people want to see repercussions, but I think you're far enough away removed, both in time and in physical space, that you'll quickly forget.
Yeah,
and I don't think that you can. There clearly has to be like maybe I say clearly, but I guess not. But some acknowledgement that the Reapers happened. The outcome can still be ambiguous, whatever. We touch on that in 2, is it the Protheans go to the other planet and they have no idea what happened.
My prediction is that this will take place after 1, definitively, but before 3. So, like, you know, it will definitely be after Sovereign attacks the Citadel and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So they've
but it will after. Be before the big war.
Right. Well, so they don't know the outcome.
Not that this will take place then, but Ryder will leave
the
galaxy.
That's when they were sent.
Ryder will leave the galaxy after 1, but before the big war kicks off and everything changes.
Well, that makes sense because 1 is when the Citadel is aware of the threat, but 2 and 3, well, specifically 3 is when the war starts.
And that may well be their mission. It may be that the Ark was sent from Earth in order to...
What are you doing? Can you be a little bit quiet over there?
Excuse us while we laugh at somebody doing something insane in this very same room.
I'm cutting this so it fits in.
You could do that in here. Shut the door, you silly man.
You guys are recording. Take a break.
No, we're recording. That's why we're talking.
None of this is getting cut, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Okay.
So, but what I was saying was, you know, I think that you can do that and you can be far enough removed.
I'll throw shit at you.
From the
previous stuff that it doesn't matter. And
right, okay.
I do think you need to have that backdrop of having the Reapers be a threat.
Yep.
Right.
But it could be that, you know, Ryder... and crew were sent to Andromeda for the purpose of getting away and ensuring there was a, you know, well, it's a Noah's Ark situation.
Right.
Do you think she's going to be aware of, like, Ryder's going to be aware of how, like, massive what happened back?
Well, one of the interesting things in the interviews is that they say that Ryder will, unlike Shepard tends to be aware
of everything
of
going
the
on,
galaxy around them,
yeah,
and that Ryder will be learning alongside the player.
It's like a sense,
that's really
like a,
cool, though.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I wonder if they, with that, if they mean just about the Andromeda galaxy, or if they mean about everything. Because who knows? You know, Ryder could have been in cryosleep for 500 years and missed the entire First Contact War and everything.
You have to consider, though, that every story is about the characters. That's what story is, and they've. They've mentioned several times that they're referencing colonization, and you have to wonder that with Ryder, he or she is very unsure of herself, and the point is that, again, it's not Shepard. Shepard had kind of had the answer to everything, and I have to wonder, what is Ryder's role going to be, and how much is she going to know of what happened with the Reapers, and what is her, you know, what is the Citadel's mission for her? Because you have to wonder, even if it takes place,
I don't think
it'll
be Citadel anyway. Yeah, I think Ryder will be
a human
from
experience.
Yeah, I think because I think the Ark will be a human ship.
Because consider the Citadel doesn't care. Like, we saw that through all three games, the Citadel does not care what the humans
and, you know,
are. They're the newbies.
And all it takes really is, you know, as far as getting Salarians and Turians and Krogan out into Andromeda,
and we don't know,
is one brave ship.
Right.
Right.
And
so,
I believe Quarians already kind of, from how the novels made it sound, we're already kind of pushing to go.
Kind of, although I wouldn't
be,
I wouldn't be surprised if they are the race that doesn't show up.
Yeah, I would. Well, isn't one of the endings I got when I played Mass Effect 3 was the Quarians got wiped out. So that's a possibility. Do you think something like, you know what I bet doesn't return? I bet the Geth don't return.
Well, weirdly, I think they're quite an iconic Mass Effect enemy, and I would
so
be surprised
too.
If they weren't there
but
in some form.
They were created, so they're kind of confined, I feel like, to where they were created, maybe?
Maybe, but... Well,
they can't move too far from where they
but,
came
But they're
from.
In the sort of outer rim of the Mass Effect universe.
Yeah.
They are very iconic.
They could have gone further, but, you know...
They could come up with
the Quarians are the ones that... I would not be surprised if in this game we don't see a single Quarian.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all.
Same here.
Whereas I think I would be surprised if we didn't... I would be surprised if... If we don't see a... Well, we know we're going to see a Krogan. We know we're going to see... A
Turian?
Well, no, we don't. We know we're going to see a Krogan, and we know we're going to see an Asari.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think we will see a Salarian. But then I think the Quarians are the one of the five, if you include the Geth, of the original Mass Effect races that we potentially won't see.
But
like, I'll be surprised if we saw a God. What are they called?
Elcor.
A Batarian.
No,
Batarian.
Hanar.
No, Fane's race.
Thane's race. Oh,
it's on the tip of her tongue.
Why did you say it? Now I don't know what they are.
But, you know, fish dudes.
Yeah.
No, cute dude. Okay, what?
I don't think we'll see them.
Drell.
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 That's it.
Second husband.
Second. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You like the fish?
I think we'll get a Turian. I think we'll get Turians.
The Turians, though, I guess lore-wise, too, if somebody else gets cut, if you're into, like, the extended Mass Effect universe, the Quarians, I mean, not the Quarians, the Turians would make sense to cut, because wasn't it kind of implied that they were also the newbies? Like, before humans,
well,
they were the
I think the implication is more that not that they were the newbies, but more that
they were human.
They didn't cooperate.
The Asari was so much smarter than them that, mm-hmm. that when they showed up, the Asari just said, "Oh, that's nice. Now you be our military."
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Because the Turians do act, compared to everyone else, like after humans, kind of very naive and a little violent, like our race was.
But I think they are going for a clean break. You know. Mm-hmm. I think we'll get races, but they've already said, for instance, the N7 character we see in the trailers, which isn't Ryder,
right.
Yeah.
is also nothing to do with Shepard.
Right.
Yeah.
That first trailer that we saw last year had a very, maybe like rogue, ominous tone, almost. Well, like that N7 doesn't feel
good news. One of the things that interests me about that is that in that trailer, it's very brief.
Right.
But in that trailer, that N7 character has a squad of his or her own.
Right.
So, like, you see, it's definitely a Krogan.
Right.
And then it could be a humanoid. But one of them's definitely a Krogan. And so one wonders if that ends up being the Saren of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that they will have their own ship and squad.
Human versus human.
Yeah.
That didn't, I mean, side stories did occur with that in Mass Effect, but to see that to be your own worst enemy in this one.
Be Final Fantasy.
Would be.
All these crazy races, but then it's just human against human. Like,
a lot of that hierarchy that comes from the previous trilogy, is that going to reciprocate into this game? Because it's essentially starting new, because a lot of this game, like, are they in cryosleep, or are, like, who are these people, and how much do they know of what happened in the Milky Way to where they are in Andromeda? You
so
know what I mean?
They could be the good guys, and then suddenly they're the bad guys.
They could start a whole new...
Well, that's the interesting thing, you know. For all we know, the Tempest could be a Cerberus ship.
And do we know even, we keep speculating that it's humans in cryosleep, but what if everybody else that's in cryosleep around Ryder is?
I think the Ark will be a human ship.
Yeah,
exclusively human.
I think the Ark will be like the Normandy at the start of Mass 1, and maybe there'll be one or two tokens.
Seth Green voices another one of the characters that he made up to.
A Turian and a Drell.
But if it was exclusively human, why would they bring all the other species with them?
Well, I don't think they do.
Well,
I think they're already
saying.
There. That's what I was saying earlier.
Okay.
Like, you know, it only takes one brave ship.
Right.
And this is the brave human ship.
You know,
that's not to say a brave Krogan ship hasn't already done the job.
I couldn't even remember Drell, so if Drell were the ones that were cut, I wouldn't be surprised.
What were the potato people? Batarians?
Potato people.
Oh, you would.
The ones that talk
spidery guys, or do you mean the guys in the suits?
Like
no, they isn't it in Mass Effect 2 you have the option to wipe out
the
most of their species?
The
Batarians.
The
potatoes.
They sort of have multiple eyes, they're sort of spidery. And they're another one I don't think will show up.
No, they want the iconic ones.
The Volus, I think there probably will be a Volus, and the reason I think that is
Volus
was the first race ever created for Mass Effect.
They're kind of iconic,
like before
though.
They made any other race. And so I think BioWare probably holds them close to the heart.
Yeah.
And,
that's what went out in that loot crate, that Mass Effect loot crate, the Volus.
Yeah, and so I think they will... There'll be at least one of those.
I need one Hanar too, but then...
And also, they're one of the things that... this is from an interview that I did, like, 2 years ago with the Dragon Age team.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But... one of the interesting things about the engine now that they're on is that it's one of those weird things. The previous engine they're on wasn't built to handle characters of multiple height, so whenever they had a significant difference in height, they had to tool the scene specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But when they started retooling Frostbite, they made it so that it would be... And specifically, they made it so that... In this Dragon Age interview, we're talking about Varric talking to somebody... Varric being 3 feet tall or 4 feet tall and whatever, and a 6 foot tall human.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they were saying is they share all that technology around, so then the Mass Effect team gets their hands on that technology,
right.
And that makes it much easier for them to do aliens that aren't all in a humanoid shape. Because, like, one of the things that you might notice is all the playable races in the Mass Effect trilogy that's out are all a basic humanoid shape because they all have to fit the same skeleton because they all share the same combat animations. And so I think we'll probably see some more interesting alien species because they're finally free of that.
When we're talking about alien species, like, we know, or we think that some of them are going to be cut from that survey that went out.
Yeah.
You have to wonder, is it minor or major races? Because thinking back, the drill, we only saw a couple.
That's why
And then the Protheans, because Javik was it.
I think
it's major.
If you ask me what major Mass Effect races are, it's the races that were significantly
in the first game.
In the first game,
that's what I think.
And I think if you do that, the one to go is the Quarians.
Yes, they are. They are.
They're the most boring, and also from a lore perspective, they're the ones that make the most sense.
Right. Well, it wouldn't make sense for the Protheans to come back either, because where would they get
dead.
Like,
well, yeah, there's only one.
Yeah, exactly. There's Javik, exactly.
So
Javik.
And we don't know when they leave. You know, when they leave, Javik might still be.
I don't know how long they live.
Yeah, I was gonna say Javik, wasn't he already like near Death Star anyway at this point?
Well, here's a question for all of you: in actual science, the Andromeda galaxy is an immeasurable amount of distance away. Well, not immeasurable,
4.5 billion years, I think we saw.
Yeah. So.
Light years.
So, what's left of the Milky Way? Do you think that there is even that all those species are still around, or
I don't think it even matters because I don't think they will even think about or wave a hand because towards whatever is going on in the Milky Way.
What does it matter? Because it's not like you're going back.
I think they'll have you wake up and go, right, this is the problem that's here and now, and fuck everything.
You can't go back.
What if she's like the only human?
They haven't got the balls.
Who's living out there? That's the thing.
That even works into the whole, this new game is a new stepping on point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah, I think a lot of the things they say press the right buttons for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm glad they're going with a default woman this time.
They said there's going to be male and female, but they also are doing something else, and they don't want to talk much about it. And also, that's not the default face.
They said that there is a twist in the character creation, which is something that leaves me very curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that might relate to all the family stuff. Maybe you have to create... Like, it's a weird thing to reference when talking about Mass Effect, but GTA Online
has you... Oh, like you choose your mother and your father.
You choose your mother and your father, and that influences your genes.
Yeah.
And maybe they will do something like that, and that will impact the family that you then see in the game. I mean, Fallout did that to an extent as well, because you create
your significant other, your father, Shepard, you can change both
characters, and the baby changes.
Your father is scary.
So I would be
scared of your father. Your mother.
He's long dead.
But I don't know. Like, you know, it wasn't the strongest of E3's film, but a lot of what they say still. I mean, you look at the way we're talking. Like,
the dev. It's cool to get behind the scenes, but I
you want to see game.
Right, if you don't have something to show me, it's very hard for me to listen to what you're saying. Like, I need proof that what you're saying is a thing. Like, it's one thing to tell me we're doing this, this, and this. Okay, that's cool, but how many times have I been fed that and then it not
been It seems good? Like they still don't know well, how to explain it.
It's been 3 years, right?
Yeah.
I think their biggest mistake was, what was it, 2014? Whenever they all looked like they were in heaven and there was that weird ethereal background.
Casey Hudson was still with the company.
I think that was a mistake. I don't think they should have acknowledged that.
That was EA. EA got like really like bogged down by that. They got criticized because they didn't know what they were doing.
But that was the year when it seemed like EA had nothing to fucking show. So let's just show a bunch of concept footage. And like, I was sitting in that conference, and it was a miserable conference. And
wasn't it Andrew Wilson's? Is Andrew Wilson
Hip Hop Gamer was sat like on the table behind us and screamed all the way through the Mass Effect thing, and I was like, oh my god.
I think it was the first time with the new CEO. So
but Wilson seems to be clued in. He seems to be doing really strong.
Oh, totally. I think it's just the first one he did. Everyone like was saying,
but that did seem like a transition year for them.
Right. Yeah. It was a bad conference. but also, I guess, in their defense, it is, this is the time, like this month in particular, where you would expect them in maybe a month's time to start ramping up that Mass Effect teasing.
Yeah.
It falls
but I think
into marketing plans for past games.
But I think you'll get that at Gamescom. Like,
right.
The only thing that's different.
But the Gamescom is a month and a half away.
The only thing that's different to previous ones is that we didn't get Mass Effect. Like Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Yeah.
At E3 we got gameplay demos.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
And then at Gamescom we got I got hands on and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing that's really different here is that the trailer wasn't 2 minutes of gameplay, it was 1 minute of gameplay and a minute of something else.
Yeah.
And that there wasn't an appointment I could go to on the show floor where I could see well, back in 2 and back in the case of 2 and 3, it would be Casey. Explain what you were seeing.
You're saying that a year later, it feels like it's still a far ways out.
I don't think it does, because they've reiterated the early
2017. Fairly confident that early next year is it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And I think it's more about not distracting from Titanfall.
Right.
Yeah, they got too much stuff to show at
E3. Three big things.
Well, they got Battlefield, they got Titanfall, and they've got all the sports stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if I was EA, I would be looking at it and going, well, we haven't announced the date. Maybe we wait a little bit because there's a lot of big RPGs coming out.
Yeah.
Early next year.
Right.
But it's exciting.
It's amazing that tiny little trailer they showed, even a year after what they showed last year, has got us all so ramped up.
We've talked for nearly 40 minutes, right?
Exactly.
About a 2 minute trailer? 2 minutes, maybe?
Not even 2 minutes.
Some of it was
2 minute trailer and a couple of interviews. Right. Yeah. Maybe less than an hour total of interviews.
It's a big universe.
Yep.
And I think that bodes well for them, right? Like I liked what I saw in that trailer. The footage looked amazing. I'm looking forward to playing it on a really high-end PC.
They've got Gamescom, and of course we always mention N7 Day.
So. But I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I don't want people to think too much of Gamescom and put too much stock into Gamescom. Because, to be honest, they could quite easily say, we're not going to do Gamescom. We're going to start in November, and then we have November, December, January, February, March to build up, and that's more than enough time.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And then launch on my birthday in March.
Hopefully, well, once again, we talked about a lot about Mass Effect Andromeda. We'll obviously have more coverage once we get more news about that. I'd like to thank Kyle, Andrea, Alex here for helping out. We'll have more news about that, but we've got more stuff to talk about. Thanks for watching this episode, though.
Goodbye.